All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. God bless you all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope that y'all doing all right, staying strong and solid in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you are baptized. I pray that you are safe, protected, and prayed up. And I just hope that whatever situation that you're going through, that the Lord is with you, that he guides you, he protects you, he looks out for you, he comforts you. I pray that you put him first forever and that you stay faithful, obedient, and you stay in alignment. And I just pray that you always dedicate everything to the Most High and that you always put him first in all areas of your life and that you always go to him for help and always know that he will provide in due timing, perfect timing. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Let us thank the Lord for another day. Let us thank the Lord for waking us up today, giving us another chance. Let us thank the Lord for food in our belly, clothes on our back, a roof over our head. Let us thank the Lord for protecting us coming in and coming out. Let us thank the Lord for his word, his promises, his covenants, his only begotten son who died for our sins. Amen. Yes, yes. So there's a lot to be thankful about. There's a lot to be grateful about. So many people complain and focus on the negative, but you have to focus on the goodness of God, how great he is, and what he's brought you through. Okay. Let us always stay content, grateful, appreciative, okay, because we live in a generation of people that complain too much and don't praise the Lord enough, okay, so always rejoice, always praise the Lord, all right, yes, yes, y'all, welcome everybody, I appreciate all of you guys for supporting and listening, it means a lot to me, I pray for you all, love you all so much, I don't know what you're going through out there, but I know that the Lord will look out when you stay faithful and you keep looking to him as the source, okay, and that he will do what his word says. His word doesn't go void. So the Lord protects his people. The Lord keeps his promises. Always remember that, all right? Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome, everybody. Greetings, body of Christ. Shalom, family. Hope that you all are just hanging in there, taking it one day at a time, all right? Y'all going at it day by day. We got to take it one day at a time, all right? So much going on all four corners of the earth. So you just got to really, you know, take it easy out here. Walk light on this journey, okay? Got to take it light, amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome, everybody. All peoples, all nations, all tribes, all languages, all tongues, all races, all faces, all four corners of the earth. Whether you are an Israelite or a Gentile, it is all right. Whether you are chosen or adopted, it is all right. Let us gather, praise the Lord, and thank him for everything. Yes, yes, y'all. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All the peoples, all the mountains, all the trees, all the plants, all the animals, all the creatures in the sea, all the birds in the air, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, y'all. Let us love the Lord our God for all of our mind, heart, soul, strength, and might. Let us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Let us know the Lord better and obey his word, obey the gospel. Be obedient, faithful people. Let us lead by example of Christ's love and the example that Christ set for us. Let us pass that on to others as well. Amen. Yes, yes. Let us do Father's business and Father's will for the rest of our lives until his son comes back, all right? He is coming back like a thief in the night. He is coming back for a church with no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle. He is coming back in an hour nobody knows but the Father, okay? So always stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Hallelujah. Keep that lamp and that oil on. Keep it burning. Keep it on, okay? Yes, yes, y'all. So in today's message, we're going to continue our Bible reading series, okay? We left off at 2 Thessalonians in the last episode, so we're going to continue on forward with the book of 1 Timothy, okay? So 1 Timothy is a pretty good book, a very great read. I look forward to sharing it with you all. And then from there, we'll close out with a priestly blessing. We'll close out with a prayer. And we'll also close out with giving all the praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And praise his only begotten son who died for our sins. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So let us always stay in this word and be a doer of the word, okay? So before I read 1 Timothy chapter 1, I would like to read the introduction commentary prior to it, okay? So let's go through the commentary intro. The author, the Apostle Paul, the audience, Timothy, Paul's student, and the young pastor of the church of Ephesus. The date, about AD 64, probably between Paul's first and second imprisonments in Rome. The setting, Timothy receives instructions from Paul on church management. Okay, essentials of 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is an ideal combination of friend, teacher, and mentor to Timothy. These two men forged their relationship in the heat of great adventure, hardship, danger, and a magnificent cause. They each placed their lives at God's disposal and enjoy the fruits of trust, camaraderie, and satisfaction that only shared experiences can bring. Eventually, Paul sends Timothy on his own missionary assignment. Paul writes the two letters that bear Timothy's name to this young man in need of encouragement, direction, and connection. Paul provides a mix of wisdom about everyday issues Timothy faces and counsel about his role as a church leader. As you read 1 Timothy, look for ways to reflect the same balance between managing your ordinary duties and meeting the deeper personal needs of the believers you encounter. As you seek that balance, you can foster healthy bonds, whether you find yourself on the giving or receiving end of a mentoring relationship. What to look for in 1 Timothy? What a spiritual mentor can teach you. Understanding the central matters for life and ministry. Honoring and encouraging those with special duties within the church. Youth, not an excuse when it comes to faith. The gift of age and accumulated experience. Understanding and living a contented life. All right, y'all. So that's the intro, build up, commentary for 1 Timothy. Okay, so now let's go into the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's begin. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Warning against false teachers of the law. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which commands from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that confirms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. The Lord's grace to Paul. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. All right, so that's the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 reading. All right, so as we review 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul goes further to detail by explaining everything to Timothy and just telling him to be he's just warning him against false teachers of the law and be careful of those who spread false doctrines and myths and what have you, all right, and fables and stuff like that, because they promote controversies instead of actually promoting God's work, you know, which is by faith. So Paul is just telling Timothy to just be watchful of that, being careful, and that these type of people want to be teachers of the law, but they don't even know what they're talking about. They're not even affirmed in it or do it themselves, okay? Also, furthermore, Paul goes further to detail about telling them how good the law is and that it's not made for the righteous, but it's made for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly, the sinful, the unholy, and the irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders, liars, and perjurers, and for whatever is contrary to the sound doctrine that confirms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. So Paul just goes further to detail about how the Lord had grace on him as well, and how Paul used to be violent and an angry man and acted out of ignorance and unbelief, and that even through that, the Lord still had grace on him, and Paul was a changed man. All right, so God's grace is amazing, that God could change anybody once God has that encounter impact on somebody's life, okay? And when a person is willing to change, that's always a beautiful thing of God's mercy and grace being shown through that person's change and transformation, okay? So The Lord has grace on all of us, man. He truly does. A lot of us have come from all types of crazy walks of life. A lot of us have been through dark paths, bad roads, what have you. But by the Lord's grace, his mercy, his favor, his hand on us, the word, it really washed us up. His word really led us to light. All right, now we're people of light. Amen. We're a royal priesthood, lights of the world. Okay, so the Most High's grace is very powerful and amazing. All right. Furthermore, Paul just goes further into detail towards Timothy about how, you know, how people strayed away from the faith and from sound doctrine. All right. You say how, you know, people go off and just do what they want to do and wander off and listen to what they want to listen to. And furthermore, Paul says something really wild at the end of chapter one. He says that some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So that's a very tricky thing to read. You know what I mean? So very crazy stuff overall, but all in all, it's very important that we stick to the sound doctrine, the true gospel, the true word of the Most High. Okay, if it is not the word that the Most High actually told one of his forefathers or prophets, if it's not something that the prophets prophesied about or any fulfillment or goodness of God or any, if it's not concerning anything of the gospel that Christ himself said, then it's not the true word. Okay, what a lot of people do is they spread a lot of philosophies, like a lot of motivational feel-good stuff, and they slap a scripture on top of it, and that's not the true word. You don't quote a scripture on top of man-made wisdom or unsound doctrine. You know what I mean? And many people in ministries do that stuff. So very dangerous to spread a false gospel, a false doctrine, to preach about a false Jesus and all that stuff, because so many people are doing right now. Okay, so we have to preach the true one, the true Messiah of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true words that he actually said himself, and the true words that the Most High spoke through his prophets. Okay, that's the real word, the Most High. Okay, these people are not spreading that today. That's why there's no fear of God in people. That's why there's no proper correction or edification out here, because when people are spreading too much lies and feel good messages and philosophical stuff, it causes more people to be sinful and make people feel good about it. And that's the problem. Okay, so that's the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 reading. Now let us go into 1 Timothy chapter 2. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2, here we go. Instructions on worship. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed, a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Mm-hmm. I also want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, with properness, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness while being proper. All right, so that is the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 reading, okay? And what I would like to do before I review the whole chapter 2 is just read this in commentary scripture, as God is immortal, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, so the Most High is immortal. Hallelujah. All praise to him. So as we review the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul goes further to detail about instructions on worship. He's also discussing about the importance of request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and people in authority, so that people could have quiet, peaceful lives and godliness and holiness. All right, because the kingship, the leadership, the authority, everything they do trickles down to everybody else. So it's important that everybody from top down is holy and godly, okay? Furthermore, Paul goes into detail about how the Lord wants people to be saved and how he wants people to come to the knowledge of the truth, okay? And he discusses that there's just one God and there was one mediator between God and men, that's Christ. He's the middleman. He's the bridge that connects it all. And furthermore, he was a ransom for all men, the testimony given in his proper time, who gave himself as a ransom. And furthermore, Paul goes into detail about how he was appointed a herald and an apostle to tell the truth and to not lie, and to be a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. Because as we all know, Paul couldn't preach to his other fellow Jews, other Israelites, because they kept chasing him out, beating him up, throwing him in prison and hurting him. So he had to keep going to the Gentiles, other nations, other cities, other countries, just to preach the gospel. Okay, because the Gentiles, they're more loving and welcoming towards Paul than his own Israelite brothers or sisters. So as we go furthermore, Paul goes into detail about, you know, he wants every man, he wants everyone to lift up their holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. All right, so when you're praying, you don't want to have anger inside of you while you're praying. You don't want to have unforgiveness or anything like that before you pray or read the Bible or do anything holy. You don't want to have anger or unforgiveness in your heart, because God sees the heart of a person more than anything. So God knows what's on your heart. So make sure our hearts are legit and pure and not all filthy or corrupted as we're coming to God's presence or calling on his name for something or prayer. All right. Too many people have filth and unforgiveness in their hearts. So Paul's basically telling us to clean it up as we lift up our hands in prayer and to not dispute. All right. Don't be having so much clashes with people all the time. When it comes to fellowship and worship, it has to be love, peace, harmony, togetherness, and unity. All right, no more division, okay? All right, put the differences to the side and be mature about everything. Furthermore, Paul goes into detail about how he wants women to dress modesty and decency and being proper. And he said, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. So there, Paul goes into detail about how women should carry herself inside out. He's not just judging just from the external and the outside. He's going from an inside out way as well. All right. So he just goes further to discussing how women should be modest and decent and proper about how they go about things. But we look at today's world. I mean, you can't tell a woman nothing, right? All this feminism, all this woman empowerment stuff, all this hate men stuff, all this programming is hurting people badly. Okay. Badly, all this matriarchal influence all over everywhere. It's not looking good, people. It really isn't, okay? And furthermore, Paul goes into detail about a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first in Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness while being proper. Okay, so furthermore, Paul just goes into detail about saying how when it comes to worship and fellowship, how a woman should learn and be quiet as she's going through that process. So a lot of people get worked up over Paul saying these things, but the thing is, Paul's not a sexist or a misogynist, because Paul, when he did his final greeting letters, He included how much hardworking women in the body of Christ was around him and supporting him. So Paul respects women, and he respects women within the ministry. It's just a certain order about how things should be established, okay? And also, when Jesus came back out of the tomb, he came back to Mary Magdalene and all that. So he came back to women as well. So this is not to disregard or dismiss the role of a woman and her importance in this walk with God. Paul's just saying that when it comes to the church and worship, he was basically saying also in Corinthians as well, that a woman should not have authority over a man. That's out of order. And how women cannot be pastors and stuff like that. Because when you read Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31, God said that my leaders of flock are men. So the Lord changed not, you know. And it's not to dismiss or disregard a woman at all and what she's supposed to be doing for the Lord. It's just, it's an order on how the Most High established things. Because when you read the Old Testament, there is 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses. So there's just a few select women that God chooses and anoints and equips to do certain things as prophesies and what have you. Now, a woman, yes, she can prophesy. She definitely can, because when you read the book of Joel, how the Lord is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and how your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So yes, a woman can be a prophetess if she's anointed and equipped and chosen to do so, as she can prophesy, okay? But can she teach over man and have authority and be a leader of a flock? No, because God said, my leads a flock of men in Ezekiel. So God always establishes things right away, all right? So I know a lot of people argue about that, and people get offended by that, but it's an order. Let everything be done in decency and order. A man should know his role when it comes to the Lord, and so should a woman, all right? We have to respect the way God designed things from the get-go. All right, so always know that the man is the proper leadership, and he's the leader of the flock, okay? So Paul just goes into detail about that, okay? Now that we got through 1 Timothy chapter 2, now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 3, here we go. Overseers and deacons. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Whew. All right, now. He must not be a recent convert. He may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulgent in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. Yes, yes. All right. So that is the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 reading. All right. Very excellent read. Before I review chapter 3, I would like to read this in commentary scripture that's included in chapter 3. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Excuse me. God became man. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. All right. So just showing that amazing correlation of the Father and the Son, how connected and amazing and unique he is. All right. Now, as we review chapter 3, it just goes further into detail about overseers, you know, leaders of the church, management, pastors, basically. And here, you know, Paul's just saying like, hey, an overseer, he must be above reproach. The husband is to have one wife. All right, he's supposed to have one wife, okay? And he's supposed to be temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Not given to drunkenness, sober, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Now, this right here is how church is supposed to be ran and led and the administration, basically, from top down. Paul is discussing the order of the church and how it's supposed to be displayed. But when we look at common churches today, can we ask ourselves, are these churches really ran in this fashion or this manner that the word says to run it? Be real with ourselves, you know. A lot of churches are not doing things that are biblical or pure or honest or sound. Many overseers and deacons are, you know, they're like the opposite of this, okay? They're doing them. They doing what they want to do. You have to be obedient when it comes to how it goes about this, how to display yourselves, okay? Because the obligation of a pastor, overseer, deacon, those are very heavy responsibilities. And you have to go about it the right way. All right, so this is the church order that Paul explained to Timothy how it should be ran, okay? And to be a good husband, to be a good man, make sure your children respect you, be a good father. And that's a very powerful thing Paul said. Paul said, if a man does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? So your whole family, your household got to be in order. Your wife got to be on point. Your children got to be on point too. The order you have to set and establish, it got to be respected from top down, you know, because if you can't take care of a household, how are you going to take care of a church? Because with the household, you're around your people all day long and you know what's going on in your house with your wife or your children. In the church, it's all types of people walking in and out the church. It's all types of people, all types of problems in the church. So if you can't fix what's in your backyard, how are you going to fix somebody else's establishment or, you know what I'm saying, the house of God? So that's what Paul's just really getting at. He was really pressing and charging the order of how to be a proper pastor, leader, a deacon, or what have you, okay? And having a clear conscience, having respect, being sincere, you know, being honorable, you know, those things that matter. And he even describes the type of wives that they marry, okay? He makes sure, hey, make sure the wives are worthy of respect. Make sure they're not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. So you can't have no gossiping wife, no backbiting wife. Too many brothers out there got that. They got a mean wife talking crazy, talking about people all the time. You know, Paul presses that, okay? So he also discussed how, you know, you have to, everything got to be on point from top down, okay? And everything got to be excellent and great assurance in the faith in Jesus Christ, okay? So those instructions that Paul laid out are very simple. Very simple things to do. And yet people are still rebellious and do what they want to do. All right, so, yep, that really sums up 1 Timothy chapter 3, okay? Now what I would love to do is go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, all right? So let's read chapter 4. Instructions to Timothy. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 reading right there, okay? So as we review that, Paul's just giving more instructions to Timothy and basically just explaining to him how to understand that in latter times, in the end times that we're in right now, he's just saying like, hey, many people will abandon the faith. So don't lose heart about that. Many people are going to stray away from it and follow what they want. So they're going to follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. All right, so you have these people. You have false pastors, false ministers, false preachers, false teachers. You have false influencers on social media. You have all types of just deceiving spirits around. Now, remember, this is the great deception. We're in a time of the great deception. So many people are being deceived and tricked left and right. All right. So Paul's just telling Timothy to be mindful of that. And he's saying that they come from hypocrites. All right. So you got to have that discernment when you're listening to the message and also the messenger. You have to focus on both. OK, because one coincides with the other. OK. Furthermore, Paul is just saying how people will forbid to marry and they will order them to abstain from certain foods, which God's created to be God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And he said that everything God created is good, and that is to be rejected if it is rejected, if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. Furthermore, Paul goes into detail telling Timothy to not have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. And he said to always train yourself to be godly. And he said that physical training has value, but godliness has value for all things. Okay, so people tend to work out a lot, love to go to the gym and get physical, what have you, but physical exercise is limited. Spiritual exercise is everything. Okay, it's everything. You know, spiritual exercise, that's where it's at. That's what Paul's just breaking down to Timothy, okay? And training yourself spiritually, all right? Because you can't fight a spiritual warfare physically, all right? You just really can't. Yeah, it's by the spirit. So you have to constantly spiritually train yourself all the time. That's what Paul is stressing to Timothy, instructing him to do. Furthermore, Paul tells Timothy to that's a trustworthy saying and full acceptance, and that you have to labor and strive to put your hope in the living God, who is the savior of all men, especially those who believe. Furthermore, Paul goes into detail saying that don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. Remember, Timothy was a young man up in his ministry doing his works, you know. So don't ever look down on a young person, because young people have so much potential. And Jesus even said that the kingdom of heaven belonged to these. They belong to the children. So, older people, middle-aged people tend to look down on younger people for various reasons, generational gaps, envy, jealousy, like all types of random weird stuff, you know, and they're like, oh, look at this young person. Oh, you don't know nothing, da-da-da-da. You know, old people always talk like that, and that's the problem. That's why such a generational gap right there, that type of communication. The way middle-aged people, older people just talk down on young people, it easily discourages a young person. It easily makes a young person not want to follow the examples of righteousness or following God. So the more you push a young person away, the more you actually push them away from God and push them away from prayer, push them away from wanting to worship or what have you. So you have to always be welcoming and warm to young people. You have to be patient with them. And Paul just tell them, don't let nobody look down on you, you know, and that's just how people are wired mentally. But for believers, oh, it's an example for speech and life and love and faith and impurity. You know, furthermore, Paul goes into detail about devoting yourself to public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching, and do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Furthermore, Paul says to be diligent in these matters, give yourself to them fully and so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So it's very important to truly live by the word and watch what you do and how you live closely, because you're an example now. So whatever you do is going to affect everybody else. That's why you have to be a good example. It's not for validation of man. It's just so that your good leadership, your good standing, your good relationship with God, it can rub off on everybody else who hears you. All right. So that's the importance of good leadership, good standards, good examples being set. All right. So that sums up the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 reading. Now let us go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 5, here we go. Advice about widows, elders, and slaves. Servants, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. All right. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. No one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but also gossipers and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. Wow. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality, and to do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. Okay. So that's the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 reading. Very effective, excellent reading. Furthermore, Paul goes into detail about how to handle widows, elders, slaves, older people, and younger people. Paul's just telling Timothy to, you know, make sure you treat people with fairness, goodness, and kindness, and to always look out for others and to be patient with them, and to give proper word, proper instructions on how to go about the gospel and doctrine, and how to bear with people in their situations, how to deal with people in the hard times that they're dealing with, because many older people, many widows, many people of all ages, all walks of life, they all go through different seasons and phases throughout their life, so you have to be compassionate and helpful and understanding in their time of need, always showing hospitality, okay, and always doing things that others won't do for them, okay, so basically being a good example and a good shepherd, all right, being a good steward over everything, okay. Furthermore, Paul just goes more into detail about the importance of preaching and teaching scripture, and that the worker deserves his wages, okay, and also how to handle just every type of person situation, also handling yourself. And always remember that don't show favoritism. Don't be, you know, putting up one person, putting down another. You know, make sure everything's done fairly and right justice due. All right, because favoritism is a horrible example to set. It's a very horrible thing that causes a lot of division. So make sure you don't show favoritism in what you're doing. And to keep yourself pure, don't share in other people's sins. Paul goes on further into detail and saying how a sins of a person, it trails behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those who are not cannot be hidden. All right, so Paul's just telling him, like, hey, man, keep yourself pure. Don't follow what other people are doing. Always stay on point and on that narrow path for God. All right, so that sums up the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 reading, okay? Now, what I would love to do before I get into chapter 6, I would like to read a commentary that's within chapter 5, all right? So let us go through it, this commentary. All right, but it's even based on chapter 6, but we'll go through it. Today's Bible reading, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 21. Recommended reading, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 26, the book of Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, and also the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, also 15, okay? The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through all the way through 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, okay? The title of this commentary is Secrets of Contentment. A single mom shopping at a department store a week before Christmas summed up her spending spree. "I buy now and sort it out later," she acknowledged with a laugh. "That's what credit cards are for. With two kids, a mortgage, and a nanny to pay, this woman reflects the way a lot of us live, always thinking that just one more thing will make us happy. A label exists for this attitude, affluenza. Like a contagious disease, we want more and more and more. The Apostle Paul writes throughout his letters about the struggle between wanting more and being content, often pointing out that the two don't mix very well. He warned that love of money drives people away from God. Some people are eager for money, he observed to Timothy, have wandered from the faith, verse 10. Paul's biggest concern involved people who wanted wealth more than they wanted God. People who desire to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction, verse 9. These people have believed the lie that money will buy them happiness. So what does bring contentment? The apostle summed up the Christian ideal. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that, verse 8. Wait a minute. Did he really say we can be satisfied with just basics like a meal and a warm winter coat and a roof over our heads? Yes. Paul knew that we can't find happiness in the stuff we collect or in the conditions around us. Perhaps the apostle had recognized this secret of contentment during one of the many times he had found himself languishing in a prison cell. We find contentment when we realize that the things of the world can't really satisfy us. We find it when we recognize that only knowing God and living for him brings true satisfaction. When we acknowledge that our relationship with Christ provides the essential meaning and security in our lives, we find contentment when we understand that this relationship with Christ also assures us of eternal life, in which even our deepest desires will be fully satisfied. Amen. Things to take away from this commentary. How hard is it for you to be content with the only essentials of life like food, clothing, and shelter? In 1 Timothy and elsewhere in Scripture, Paul provides an unusual definition of being content. How would you define contentment? What would it take for you to be truly content with life? What steps can you take to find deep and ultimate satisfaction in Christ? In other words, quote unquote, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. Quote. Interesting read right there of Secrets of Contentment. All right. True satisfaction, true joy is from the Lord in your relationship with Christ, not the things of the world. There's many people out here who have all types of things you could ask for, and they're miserable, empty, deep down inside. And you have people who don't have much at all, and they got more joy and gladness than many who have more than that person. Okay. So very interesting read about that. Okay. Now, let's go into 1 Timothy chapter 6, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 6, here we go. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. Love of money. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Paul's charge to Timothy, but you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold. They take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed in, and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you. All right. That is 1 Timothy chapter 6 reading. Very effective, potent reading right there. Very legit doctrine right there. So as we review 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul just puts into detail about servants and their masters or what have you. So the word slave has a very negative connotation to it, what have you. But in that time period, people were bondsmen, bondswomen, servants, exile, captivity, stuff like that. Paul's just saying when you're in these type of circumstances, how to deal with it, how to go about it, but always putting God above everything, always putting God first through being a bondsman or a bondswoman or what have you. Okay, remember, this was after the captivity, after the exile and all that. So basically, we're still kind of going through it right now to this day as we speak, as far as our living conditions. You know, all of us ain't big balling on top just free like that. We're still kind of in these conditions where we have to do this or have to do that or have to work a job or have to go do this just to get through the next day. So Paul's just going more explain to Timothy on how to deal with people who are servants and how to deal with people in these circumstances with respect, and that teaching God's name so that the importance of God's name and so that it will not be slandered. Furthermore, Paul goes into detail about the love of money. All right. And we all know when it comes to the love of money, man, you see that more and more than ever. All right. This generation worships money, worships clout, worships attention. This generation, like this era we're living in, man, is just insane. It's super materialistic, super superficial, just very ungodly, all right, in a lot more ways than one. And the love of money is very spotlighted in this. Furthermore, Paul goes into detail about, hey, man, you know, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to God, financial gain. Those type of prosperity ministries, those type of prosperity gospels, that prosperity churches, them teachings are the worst things ever, man. That has ruined so much people, churches, ministries, and it's insane. Paul says right here how they've been robbed from the truth, and they think that godliness is a means to financial gain. That right there speaks on people's intentions. People don't even follow God for who he is and his word and his promises, or even care about a relationship. People just want to do this for money. Just for money. Like, religion is big business. Ministries are big, like, you know, a lot. The way these things are constructed, it's all about the dollar bill. You know, these 501c3 establishments, institutions, the government getting in on the tax exempt stuff. When you factor all those things in, the church and the state, when you factor all that in, you realize how crazy and corrupt a lot of stuff is, man. And the Lord is going to pour out the judgment, man. He really is about this stuff. He's going to pour out the judgment, bro. You know, when you go around talking about sowing a seed and that prosperity doctrine and that stuff, man, is foolishness, man. That has nothing to do with the true gospel. It has nothing to do with any of the things the Most High told us about. Furthermore, Paul tells Timothy, like, hey, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So he's saying when you have the Lord and you live a holy, upright, and you just got a few things to get you by, that's where it's at. That's what Paul's basically saying. That Paul also in other books also talked about how he know what it's like to have a lot. He know what it's like to have a little and have nothing at all. He said he'd rather be in the middle, you know, because when you're in the middle, you're not lacking and you don't have more than enough. You're just right where you at. And that's what Paul's just basically trying to get at as far as a status or living condition or what have you. Because when people have too much, it destroys them and ruins them. And when people have too less, it could ruin them too, because it makes them do out of character stuff. It makes them commit a crime or makes them do something bad to get something. You get what I'm saying? So Paul's always stressing financial status wise to always be in the middle or your living conditions and not to be having too much or too little of anything. All right. And it's a balance to it. Furthermore, Paul goes further to detail about how food and clothing, you should be content with that. You know, see, the average person might hear this and be like, man, what? But that just shows you how spoiled a lot of people are. It shows you how ungrateful people are. Food and clothing is a very excellent thing to have. It really is. To have your feet covered up with socks or shoes, to be able to dress warm or dress cold, that's a blessing, you know, that people take for granted. Having food, of course, nourishment is important too. It's very important because there's many people out there on earth who don't have access to food or who don't eat. There's famine in all parts of the world right now. The news don't talk about that. All right. Y'all be complaining about how you ain't get your order on time. You ain't get your food on time. They mess up your order. At least you're able to get some food. There's people out there who can't eat anything at all. You know what I mean? In other countries, they don't have Grubhub and DoorDash and Uber Eats. They don't got that. America is so greedy and complaining and ungrateful, always complaining about something, all right, when it comes to the customer service, what have you. Now, don't get it twisted. People, customer service, be tripping with their attitudes, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, when it comes to food, you just see how worked up people get over that. You know what I mean? And you see all these videos, like, on Twitter or YouTube or TikTok. Like, you see how people just be acting up in supermarkets, acting up in restaurants, acting up in fast food joints, like all types of stuff, bro. It's just like, man, what's wrong with people? Like, you can't even go out and eat peacefully and go out. Now, every time you go out to eat or get some food, it's always somebody arguing, somebody about to fight, somebody arguing with the cashier, somebody arguing with the one of the cooks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, man, what the hell going on? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is going on out here? You see, but remember, we're in the last days, man. So everybody gonna be acting up, but it's like, man, food is a blessing, man. To have a fridge of food or being able to have access, that's a blessing, bro, that people take for granted. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have someone cook food for you, make food banks, do food drives, you should be grateful for that. All these people that give out pantry foods, y'all should be appreciative of that, bro. These people, whether the food is fresh or maybe a little expired, at the end of the day, they're giving out something that you know, a lot of people don't have access to, man. You know what I mean? All this poverty, homelessness going on, man, I'm telling you, like, we have to get more involved in giving out more food, food banks, food drives. You have to be more involved in that, man. You know, and I understand many people are busy, many people's schedules, how they go about their days are different. But, like, just saying, when you have the opportunity to give back, you have the opportunity to help give food, man, that makes a poor person's day, man. You know, like, we complain about, oh, this food nasty. Oh, this food trash. I thought it was going to taste better. But blah, blah, blah. Wait, we have that luxury. You have that, you know, access to it, bro. Like, you give a poor person that, they're going to tear that food up. That same food you saying is nasty and, oh, the cook didn't do a good job, bro. There's some out there that'll tear that food up, man. You know what I mean? So when Paul said that food and clothing, you should be content with that. You really should, man. And then as far as clothing, too, because there's people out here with no shoes. You know what I mean? There's people out here barefooted. You know, no proper clothing. You know, you see it all the time. Any part of a city you go to, any downtown part of a city, any rough part, you see it. You see it, man. It's sad. You see how it is in the hood, bro. You see these parts. Philly, Detroit, Miami, Chicago, Atlanta, ATL, New Orleans, every hood, man. Gary, Indiana, you know, Seattle, everywhere, certain parts of Texas. the South, the Midwest, the East Coast, everywhere, bro. Man, y'all see what's going on in the world, man. Poverty everywhere, bro. People getting evicted, kicked out their homes. People can't pay the mortgage. People can't pay the rent. It's a lot going on these times, man. And when Paul said food and clothing, that is shelter too. That's a blessing to have a roof over your head. You know, people be complaining about, dang, I wish I had a bigger house. And, oh, man, at least you got a house. At least you got some, you know what I mean? You're still able to function and come back to home safe and sound, bro. People don't have that. People out in the street, just out there, like, you know what I mean, begging and borrowing, just, you know what I mean, harassing people for this and that. Like, you don't realize how blessed you are. That's why I've come to a point, not even just myself, but I hope you too. I hope we all just stop complaining, man. Like, God hates complainers. God hates, like, all that ungrateful stuff, all that, man, hey, that's not a way to walk around, bro, especially as a believer. People out here are suffering like crazy. People out here are lacking resources. People out here are lacking love, support. You know what I mean? You know how much of a blessing it is for a poor person to be able to take a hot shower or to eat a hot meal or to get some clothes and some shoes on their feet? Y'all don't realize how much they'd be happy just to receive those things. That's why the book of Proverbs, God really stresses about how to treat poor people and how to look out for them, because how we take care of poor people, that's God going to judge us on that. And y'all see how mean people be towards poor people, how snobs they be. We can't be like that, man. We can't be all judgmental or critical. You don't know what that person went through in their life. You don't know what type of life they went through. Them people probably at one point had it all and lost it all. And you know, with COVID wiped out everything. COVID made everybody damn near homeless. You know what I'm saying? Because COVID wiped everything clean. All these businesses went to bankrupt. All these business corporations, went down the drain. Everybody lost their apartments. Everybody lost their stuff. People lost their benefits, their 401k. They can't even access it. Like, people are going through it out here. You know what I'm saying? So what Paul telling us to be content with food and clothing, man, like, bro, like, for real, we should be blessed, man, for real, because it's a lot going on that people just don't know about, don't want to talk about. So always understand that, all right? Furthermore, Paul goes into detail about how people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men to ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So this talks about almost every rich person you could think of. Of course, you're going to obviously talk about famous rich people, what have you. We already know about that. What I'm saying is, you don't have to be, like, there's people who are not famous, but they're rich. Like, they're well off. They're really, like, good, set for life type thing. Some people who are rich and have money aren't always evil, all right? It just says the love of money is the root of evil, but not money itself is evil, okay? Furthermore, Jesus goes into detail saying you can't serve God and mammon, all right? You can't. That don't mix. That never mixes well. And Paul shows exactly how it doesn't mix well neither, because how money can draw someone away from the faith, how the love of it, the pursuing of it, it could draw somebody from the things of God. And I remember, of course, Jesus made that parable towards the man, the rich man. He said how hard it is for a camel to go into the needle of an eye than it is for a rich man into the kingdom of heaven, because they hold on to the earthly things. They hold on to it so much that they feel like nothing's better out there. What God can give you is a lot more better than what this earth can give you. I know that for sure. I mean, eternal life, everlasting life, 5 crowns of heaven, name on the Lamb's book of life. Don't nothing on earth, nothing gets better than that. Eternal life in 100-fold, 100 times eternal life. Nothing gets better than that. All the stuff we get down here, we can't take it with us. God don't care. God ain't judging how much money we make. He judging our hearts, how we lived, how we served him, how we treated people. That's what he's judging. Come on, y'all. That's what he's going to judge. And we got to ask ourselves, like, am I truly in the right place? Am I right mind for the Lord? Does my life reflect a heavenly eternal life? Does my life reflect that? You know, God, you know, for real, money, don't get it twisted, man. Like, when you read the book of Proverbs, it does say, Proverbs chapter 10, it does say that the blessing of the Lord is to make one rich, and he has no sorrow with it. So if you're a man of the Most High, you're a woman of the Most High, and you have resources, you have wealth, there's nothing wrong with that, because your relationship with God came before the money. So God already blessed you and tested you enough with the character to how to manage money and what have you. Remember, God gave Abraham many things. Remember, of course, he gave Abraham the promise, the wealth, resources, inheritances, all that stuff passed on to Israel overall. So Israel, we're a spiritually rich people. We're a spiritually rich nation, you know. But when people pursue earthly riches, like that's the problem. You know what I'm saying? Because obviously Abraham was wealthy. He was rich. Job was rich. King Solomon had it all. But you kind of saw how King Solomon was tripping when he was wilding out with it, because King Solomon, he became a king at a very young age. The thing about Abraham was like almost 100 years old. He was like around that age. He was an elder when he got all the promises and stuff. So, of course, he was able to manage it, you know. Job was a middle-aged man, I believe, when he was a wealthy, well-off man. So when you get wealth and riches or resources at a certain point in your life, you already know how to handle it, how to carry yourself. When you get it at a super young age, that will ruin you really fast. You know, it truly will. But all in all, everybody's situations and come-ups are different. Some people come from rich backgrounds. Most people don't. Some people got rich off of lawsuits or civil suits. So other people had to really work their tail off to get to where they got to. They had to go to school and get networking and met the right person. Everybody is different with their come-up and approach, but the Lord is the provider all in all. When you read Proverbs, it does says that God is the maker of the rich and the poor. It's just people's hearts and intentions with the money is the problem as well. Because if a person doesn't have good intentions or a good heart, then they run into money, that's going to make them more of a worse person. And even some people, they might be of the faith and might have a good heart. Then once they get money, it just turns them out. So that everything happens differently for different people. All in all, Paul's just stressing to Timothy, like, hey, man, you know, money and everything, bro. And money gets the worst out of people. Like, money changes everything. I'm telling you, when you down and out, broke, poor, struggling, don't nobody want to be around you. As soon as you come up, everybody just start flocking to you. Everybody start leeching off you. Everybody begging you, running to you for stuff. And everybody becomes a burden on you. So that's the burden that rich people have to bear with. You know? Well, Paul is just charging to Timothy. He's like, hey, bro, like, flee from all of this, man. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Those are the things you pursue. You don't pursue money. You don't pursue that. And money ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Once people get it, it ruins them really badly. So that's what Paul was really just stressing to Timothy. And furthermore, he was just saying to make a good confession in the presence of many witnesses in the sight of God, who gives life to everything in Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made a good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him honor and might forever. Amen. Yes. Yes, y'all. Remember, Paul goes further to detail saying, command those who are rich in this present world not to become arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, to be put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatters and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you. So Paul is really charging Timothy, man. That's the goodness, the beauty of wealth is you're able to bless others, help people be resourceful, generous, giving. You change people's lives with that. That's the goodness of it. But when people are greedy, selfish, that's what ruins them. People have bad intentions or do wicked stuff with it, that's what messes them up even more. So that's what Paul's just getting at, all right? So there you have it, all right? That is the book of 1 Timothy reading, all right? Just 6 chapters, so... books in the New Testament are a lot more short than books in the Old Testament, all right? In the Old Testament, everything's a lot more thoroughly expressed, layered by layer. The New Testament, everything's brief and more potent, more short and more like just brief and straight to the cut, all right? So that is the book of 1 Timothy reading, all right? So after that one, it'll be the next episode will be 2 Timothy reading, okay? So 1 Timothy was a very great read. I'm very happy to share that with you all, and I hope that we can all apply it to our lives and actionize it, exercise it, and be doers of the word. Amen. So, very great read, all right? So, there you have it. What I would love to do as I close out is give all the praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and praise the only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So here we go. Yes, y'all. Hallelujah. He is the hope for humanity. Yes, yes. He is the Adam, the second Adam, the last Adam, the law, the advocate, the almighty, true, and living God. Amen. The Alpha and Omega. Amen. The apostle of our profession, the arm of the Lord. The atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author of life, the author of salvation, the beginning and the end. The beginning of creation of God, the beloved Son, the blessed and only potent, the blessed and only ruler. The branch, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the capstone, the captain of salvation. The chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, Christ, the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, wonderful counselor, the creator, the dayspring, the deliverer. The desire of the nations, the door, the elect of God, Emmanuel, the eternal life, the everlasting Father, the faith and true witness, faithful and true, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead, firstborn over all creation, the forerunner, the gate, the glory of the Lord, God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, the holy one, the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, the I am that I am, the image of God, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the judge of Israel, the judge, king eternal. He is the king of Israel. Amen. He is the king of kings. Hallelujah. He's the king of kings and Lord of lords. Hosanna, Hosanna, king of saints, king of the ages, king of the Jews, the king, the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the lawgiver, the leader and commander, the life, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my portion, the Lord is my deliverer, the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my refuge, my high tower, the Lord is my good fortress, the Lord is my salvation, he is my everything, he is our everything, the Lord is our salvation. Yes, yes, y'all. He is the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one. There's no other like him. Hallelujah. Yahweh Yahuwah Yahawashai, Yahweh Ben Yahweh Yahayashai, Yeshua HaMashiach, Barakatha Shalom Shalom, Yeshua Elohim, Yehosha Yahusha, Ahayashai, the God of heaven and earth, the Father of lights, the Father of the fatherless, the Father of widows, the Father of mercies. The Son, his only begotten Son, sits at the right hand of him. The government rests on his shoulders. Yes, he is the great physician, can heal all things. He is the carpenter, can fix all things. Hallelujah. With God, all things are possible to those who believe. Amen. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He is the consuming fire. Yes, yes, y'all. He is the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the man from heaven, the man of sorrows, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah. The mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the only begotten Son of God, our great God and Savior, our holiness, our spiritual husband, our Passover, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb, the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, the resurrection and life. He is the resurrector. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He is the revelation, the revelator, the righteous branch, the righteous one, the radiant one, the perfect example, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the savior, the seed of woman, the shepherd and bishop of souls, the Shiloh, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of God, the son of man, Son of the blessed, Son of the Most High God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the Son of righteousness, the just one, the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread, the true God, the true light, the true vine. Yes, he is the truth. Amen. He is the way. Hallelujah. He is the way, truth, and life, the wisdom of God, the witness, the wonderful counselor, the word of God, the word of life, the word of Yahuwah, the word of Elohim, the word of Yeshua HaMashiach, the word of Yahawashai, the word of Yehosha Yahusha, the word of the consuming fire. Yes, yes, y'all. We touch and agree. He is the word. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, y'all. The Father and the Son are so amazing. Yes, yes. Boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Tell everybody how great he is. Tell everybody how amazing he is. What he's done for your life. Hallelujah. Boast in the Lord. Boast in him forever. His Son is too amazing. He's the seed of Abraham, promise, the seed of Adam, humanity, the seed of David, kingship, the seed of God, deity, the seed of Jacob, nationality, the seed of Judah, tribe, the seed of Shem, race, the seed of woman, prophecy. Yes, yes. In the authority and the power and name of Jesus Christ, you are healed, renewed, restored, redeemed, forgiven, embraced, loved. New mind, new heart, new soul, new hands to prosper, new footsteps, new path, new journeys, new scenery. Yes, yes, y'all. New travels, new journeys. Yes, yes. Let the Lord bless you coming in and coming out. All right. Yes, yes, y'all. Repentance, baptism, healing, deliverance, restoration, transformation, new life, new everything, new attitude, new approach, new habits, new routine, new job, new career, new opportunities, new open doors, new endeavors, new blessings, new signs, new wonders, new dreams, new visions, new revelations, new things to prophesy about. The Lord is doing a new thing. Amen. Let the Lord use you. Let him have his way. Get out of your own way. Let him have his way. Let him use you forevermore. Yes, yes. All right, y'all. So there you have it. All right. That is the word for today. The book of 1 Timothy reading. Very excellent, potent reading right there. Very effective reading. Okay, let us be a doer of the word and take that with us, all right? And let us help others out there with the word, all right? So there you have it, all right? I just pray to God that whoever listens to this message, I pray that you get baptized, repent, start your life over, and get things going with yourself, and that you have new beginnings and a fresh start, okay? And the Lord loves you a lot, so don't forget that, okay? Love him back by being obedient, all right? And trusting in him and having faith in him. So what I love to do as I close out is give the priestly blessing and go out from there, okay? So here we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Jarvis Kingston, I love you all. Praying for you all. Much love. Peace. We'll be right back.